Yes, hello, and Biancom back to this week's episode of Program B. Today, Tarnsman takes to the helm in what turns out to be a very fruitful discussion on the creation of one-man megawatts, also lending to more talk of mapping style and discipline. He is joined by not one, but three special guests, Jimmy, Chorus, and Snakes, each bringing a unique perspective and experience to the table when it comes to the task at hand. And that includes Tarnsman, whose recent foray into mapping for Redux sparked a revelation of conduct, specifically that everything he's ever made should be thrown into a fire and reduced to ash. I hope you enjoy this latest outing for Tango TV. As always, we're looking for people to step up to the plate and offer us their thoughts and insights regarding the latest topics. So, get to it.
Welcome back to Tango TV, Program B, title pending, name change, whatever. Today we have Jimmy.
Greetings.
We have Chorus.
Hello.
And we have Snakes.
Hello.
Alfonso will not be joining us today because five people would be kind of a mess. And today the topic of discussion is one-man megawatts. And that's why we have this panel of people, all of whom are either working on a one-man megawatt currently, like myself and Snakes, have finished a one-man megawatt like Jimmy, or have finished two like Chorus.
You asshole.
And I understand that Snakes is almost done with his one-man megawatt.
I've been almost done with the thing for like 2 years now, let's be honest.
And I was at around 22 maps, and then I played through it two nights ago and decided I hated everything and I'm going to restart.
Oh, yeah.
Mainly, the main point that we're going to try and cover today is the challenge of a one-man megawatt, and more importantly, what you think a one-man megawatt plays like, and if you think that having only one designer really makes it more monotonous or allows for the designer to branch out, expand their theme, and try new and interesting things so that it's not just 32 levels of the same thing. Jimmy, I know when you did Genesis, each level, you kind of did its own little thing. And were you specifically trying to do that, or did that just come about because you didn't want to keep making the same thing? Or were you, was it a conscious decision that you didn't want the map set to feel samey?
I think it was mainly a conscious decision, yeah. I think I'd have a lot of favorite map sets. I have many of them are for vanilla or boom derivative source ports. I have a lot of favorite WADs that are, you know, called classics, I suppose. So like Memento Mori and Requiem, I consider them, I think, to be, you know, in my top five WADs of all time. So what I did is, because I have so many favorite WADs, I wanted to kind of pull a lot of stuff together from them to, I suppose, make Genesis a kind of, I want to say, a grab bag of sorts. So like a themes, but to develop my mapping style so that I could work my style around those themes. So it was more a case of being influenced by my favorite WADs and deciding to go with those themes that worked so many years ago and making modern maps with those themes. So in the case of like Memento Mori and Requiem, I took textures from those WADs and made maps based around them.
Okay. Snakes, while working on your one-man megawatt, have you consciously, like, hey, this level's too samey to a previous level I've made, I should change it, or has it just been pretty much I'm going to make levels and when I hit 32, I hit 32?
Oh, it's been a bit of both. It started off just trying to make 32 levels, and then somewhere around the halfway point, I just wound up having a realization that a lot of my levels were turning out to be sort of similar to each other, not necessarily thematically, but in terms of just how they progress and their general setup. So I've been consciously trying to avoid that of late and make more variety in terms of linearity and structure and theme.
I bring this up because I just recently, as in two nights ago, played through Chorus's Speedy Shit, and I really liked it, and I thought it was really cool that you were able to put out 32 maps, or 30, I guess, the secret levels were apparently done by two other people. But one thing I really noticed about that is that every map, you pretty much could jump to any map in the set, which I'm going to consider this a positive for the design choice and the what the map set was going for, but you could pretty much jump to any map, and they would mostly play the same, and there'd be a lot of similarities, like, you'd be scrambling for weapons and ammo almost every time, you'd hit an arch vial within 20 seconds after map one, stuff like, things that I noticed that were similarities, and I've noticed a lot of that in my own mapping, especially going back and replaying Doom 2 Redux to decide I hated it. I noticed a lot of, you know, even when I tried to be different, little things creeped in of things that I don't do anymore because I've noticed them and hate them. But I think that that's a challenge with creating, you know, 32 unique levels by yourself. But more importantly, let's talk about the actual challenge of creating 32 levels by yourself. As somebody who's made, not more than 32, because you also made Base Ganymede, which Base Ganymede was four or three episodes.
Three episodes.
Okay, so yeah, you made 32 and or 30 and 27. Do you think that pumping out that many levels is just is it a struggle to finish? Would you say?
No, it wasn't so much for me a struggle. I never thought about the end goal of having a megawad as I was working. I always just, you know, focused on that one map. And then focused on the next one, and then the next one, and hey, before you know it, you got four maps, then you got five maps, and it just slowly adds up. That's how I worked. Otherwise, yeah. And I mean, initially when I started Ganymede, sure, I was like, oh yeah, I'm gonna make a megawad, but that quickly overwhelmed me. I pretty quickly just realized, hey, I'm just gonna release an episode and see where that goes. And then after doing that, hey, I found out I wanted to do more. So yeah, as time went on, it became more clear. And
Jimmy, when you were making Genesis, would you say you were focused on making a megawatt, or did you adopt Chorus's style of just make one level at a time and eventually you have 32?
I was always going to make it a megawatt. I was just going to see if I could get 32 levels done by myself. And that was mainly an exercise in... I guess for a couple of reasons. One was that I hadn't released anything for single player up to that point. I don't think anything presentable anyway. it was also to acquaint myself with speed mapping and the single player genre, I suppose, because I really only mapped for multiplayer for Skull Tag. I've done a couple of deathmatch and capture the flag maps, and I saw Genesis as being a very good opportunity to kind of flex my single-player mapping muscles, because up to that point, I just hadn't really bothered, or if I had, they'd been really kind of either just bad maps or hadn't actually come to fruition. I just hadn't finished them.
Snakes, would you say that mapping... for a megawad, that it's better to do the Jimmy style of I'm going to make a megawad, or just do one map at a time, and if you hit 32, you hit 32?
I'm probably going to go with making one map at a time as the better approach, even though I completely didn't follow it with this advice. Because, I mean, now that I have the end goal of a megawad in mind, I wind up getting stuck on a certain map, and instead of trying to finish it all the way through, I wind up jumping to another map and like, I just need to make progress in this megawad. And so what happens is I have a lot of half-finished maps. I want to go back and I look at them. I try to figure out what the hell I was thinking the first time I was making the map. And so I have to start all over again. So I think I've scrapped about 9 or 10 maps that I started so far for the project.
I know that feeling. one thing that I have a problem with, and I don't know if any of you guys have had this problem, is I actually have a rough idea of what I want to do for every map. I just execute it, and then I go, I didn't do that the way I wanted to. Like, in my head, it didn't turn out that way. And then I kind of try and tweak it for a while, and then deleting it and retrying. Do you think that you're more critical of your work when making a one-man megawatt, and it's harder to be satisfied with the end result, or to where you want to constantly keep changing it, as opposed to if you were just making a map for, like, say, a community project?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I would say that if you're just releasing single maps at a time, you're probably going to be less critical, because I suppose if they're for, like, little projects of your own, if they're little maps that you're just releasing kind of interstitially, then you'll go, okay, I can try this with this map. If it doesn't work, then I'll improve it for the next map. But when you've got a megawatt in the works, you've got 32 maps that I guess you want to make consistent and high in quality as best you can.
Right.
It's funny because I had the pretty well the opposite experience with Chorus of Speedy Shit, where I did pretty well no polish there. I just slapped it together and threw it out.
That is true. So I guess I should amend that question to a megawatt that you really spend time on and is not literally just, I'm going to make 32 maps to pump out 32 maps. Because Speedy Shit's kind of a special case, simply because that was the, I'm going to make 32 maps just to pump out 32 maps.
Right.
So with Base Ganymede, though, were you more critical in, like, you know, thinking what you wanted to do with it versus, obviously, Speedy Shit, but versus, like, I don't know, whatever couple, like, your Back to Saturn X match, for example, the two you did for that?
Not sure critical. I think I just thought about things more. Like, I didn't think at all when I was making Speedy Shit, but actually, you know, tried to think of progression and such and flow when I make Ganymede.
Right. But I mean, were you more critical of your maps? Like, was it harder to satisfy?
Oh, for like, for polish and such. Like, if I'm going to reject something.
Yes. No,
I don't think I've ever rejected a single map, or even remade one. I tend to go with the opinion that there's an inherent flaw to art and level design and such, that there's going to be merit to something being made. I mean, sure, if you're a completely new level designer and you immediately start making a megawatt, and by the time you get to, you know, map 30, your initial ones are going to be pretty shit, right? But if you've got some experience behind you, I think there's generally going to be, you know, some inherent value to each map you create. And so rather than just ditch everything, like, E1 is pretty average compared to E3 of Ganymede, right? But I still find it has a different feel to E3. Not for better or worse, but, you know, that was me back then. And I'd rather not destroy that in an attempt to find perfection, you know.
Yeah, I find my maps, some of my older maps, are actually kind of noteworthy. I fire them up again and I think, well, this has something going for it. I could probably remake this. And I did end up remaking, I think, probably my first serious venture into single-player mapping for Genesis Map 32, which is Map 2 of Genesis, but, like, in its old form, like, about 6 or 7 years ago when I first actually made it. So I remade that map for Genesis, and it actually turned out into, I think, probably one of my favourites from the set. So yeah, I do think that it's important to kind of not discard work, but
sure.
To kind of, but obviously as your standards shift, to develop new views on them and see what works and what doesn't in your old style, and adopt your new style on top of it.
Okay, no, I definitely can see that, especially going back to your older maps. Primarily because when you're first starting out, you're more, I'm just going to try this and see if it works. And I know, especially for a lot of Doom 2 Redux maps, because the project did start out kind of like yours, Jimmy, where it's just, hey, I'm going to learn to map, and I'm just going to throw in whatever I feel like just because I can. And I think while, yeah, you do get a lot of crap just throwing in whatever. There are a couple, you know, this is a really neat idea, I should expand this simply because of that.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
Now, Snakes, when making and announcing a one-man Megawatt, do you think there's an extra pressure put on you that you have to finish it because it's a one-man Megawatt?
I really don't think so. I honestly have come close to releasing just an unfinished version of Unholy Realms about 3 times now, I'd say. I've had at least 3 occasions where I stopped mapping for a long time. And I just, you can't view it as pressure on yourself because it's your own project. So you can really just do what you want with it. I've always viewed it that way. And I think releasing it unfinished isn't really a failure so much as it is as you're satisfied with what you've made and you want to move on from the project.
Okay. Jimmy?
Yeah, I can say that in the year or so that it took for me to do Genesis, I was ready to take a break from mapping for a while because I had a sense of massive achievement after releasing it, just because I guess my maps haven't, just because I didn't really have a mapping style to show off, and because I didn't really have a catalogue of maps to show off, so it was quite a hard, but I think quite a rewarding exercise, and it does help you to shape your style if you wish to have one. And it does, and it's a good way of flexing your mapping muscles, good way of making sure that you have something to show off to the Doom community to identify yourself as a mapper. And I think with Genesis, I really firmly established my own style, and decided which authors I was most influenced by. So I finally have that.
Now, obviously, yeah, you have your own style. You can see it anywhere in Genesis, especially the Jimmy Lights, as I've come to call them.
Yes.
which Essel and I have taken to complain about when they're placed in non-tech maps. but after developing that style, and, you know, obviously it becoming pretty entrenched from making 32 maps in it, and like I said, even when you try and do something different, style kind of creeps in, especially as someone who has worked on Doom 2 the way it did and has playtested the maps that other people who frequent the IRC channel have made, you could definitely see people's style creeping in. Like, Zazer's Doom 2 the way it did map is clearly a Zazer map, and Essel's maps are clearly Essel maps, even though they're done in somebody else's style. Do you feel that now that you have an entrenched style because of your Megawatt, that you're more, like, you have a bigger desire to try and work without your or work outside the bounds of your style to see what new and interesting things you could do?
Well, I don't know what Chorus and Snakes will make of this, but I would say that I'm definitely more comfortable in my own style than anything else. I would say that my mapping prowess has increased as a result of Genesis, but I would also say that my style is, I think, quite firmly established as a result of Genesis. So that's perhaps why I've struggled with Doom 2 the way it did mapping, and the Jimmy Lights thing, obviously, in my map one attempt. that's one sign of it shining through, I guess. I don't know what the others will make of it, though. So
Snakes or Chorus?
Well, when I don't know, I don't consciously try and apply my style, I suppose, but it's ultimately inherent, right? So rather than take, like, the Doom 2 the way it did approach, I prefer to perhaps go to stuff like Strife, where there's less uncharted territory, and try and Chorusify that up a little bit.
That's the other way. Snakes, would you say that mapping post Unholy Realms, not Twilight Realms, mapping post that, you would try and work outside your style a little bit more?
It's actually something I'm looking forward to. Yeah.
Yeah? Okay. Yeah. We actually got a write-in question for a change. It can be done. Would it be a good idea to announce your megawad so that it doesn't affect the development of it?
Don't do it from the fourth map. That's my first piece of advice.
God, I think I did exactly that.
Yeah, I did that too, but I regretted it ever since.
I would personally, if I could go back and do it again, I would announce it at map 31.
Yeah.
When it's nice and play tested, and I have something to release pretty soon, and I can get, I have a lot of buzz around it for the initial release because I announced it, and then boom, it's out.
It was pretty well the opposite for me, actually.
Yeah.
I put out the very first map I made for Speedy Shit, and there was almost an inherent sort of, not pressure, but like, it did help to have in the back of the mind that, you know, hey, someone might actually be playing, waiting for the next map, you know, so I better get to it. It gave a bit of incentive, perhaps, to keep that up, you know.
Ooh, that's actually a very interesting point. Yeah, for speed mapping, I would actually agree with that. When I speed mapped my first six maps for Doom 2 the way it did, I did one map a day, and it was just like, I'm going to do another map today so that Alfonso has something to play. And actually, yeah, that actually is a pretty good motivator, that if somebody's waiting for your stuff, you're more motivated to work on it.
For sure.
But at the same time, I don't know. Part of me, and this is just a personal thing, kind of feels bad if I, like, say, here's something I'm going to do, and then don't touch it for, like, 7 months.
I'm a little bit guilty of that as well.
I actually, like, just started working on my megawad again after about 6 months of not touching Doom at all, so.
As a result of this program?
Yeah, kind of. Another part of it was I just somehow got sick of it sitting on my hard drive. Okay. I was like, I just have to work on it at this point. I want to get it done. So.
Well, yeah, I want it on my hard drive now.
Yeah, I would like it on my hard drive too.
And mine.
Shit.
So you better
no
hurry
pressure,
up.
Buddy.
You better hurry up if it is
shit. I gotta get off the podcast. I gotta start mapping, guys.
Pavera brought this up in the first episode, and it goes back to style and becoming entrenched in it, and how a one-man megawad definitely does help you develop your style. As I've developed my own style, I've seen that I really don't like going overboard with a map, I think would be the best way to describe it. So I think that, especially with a map, and this applies to megawads as well, going back to what Snake said about releasing an unfinished megawad, that a map should never be longer than it needs to be. Like, making a big map just for the sake of making a big map is, I think it's a flawed exercise, and like, before I developed my style, I'm like, oh yeah, I'm gonna make this giant map. And now that I've developed my style, I'm more, does the map really need to be that big? I don't know if that's happened to anybody else.
Go ahead, Snake.
Okay, I was just gonna say, sometimes I have started a map with the idea that it's going to be, like, super mega large or whatever, but I'm an incredibly impatient person. So I'll just wind up saying, I get sick of working on a single map for too long, and if it starts to get to the point where it's taking me more than X amount of time to complete it, I think, well, this is just going to be a really long slog, and it's just going to be tough to play through. And I just think it would be better off if I found a way to finish this off while making it succinct.
Course, have your maps have all been pretty small, not small in terms of space, but pretty breezy from what I've played. Do you think that's more of a personal choice from what you enjoy as gameplay, or because it's just easier to make that in your style? And I don't know how the best way to word this. It's that once you establish your style, since you become so efficient at making maps in that style, that trying to overcomplicate maps just isn't worth the hassle, or is it just a simple matter of, like, Snakes, I don't want to make a big map because, you know, it's going to be a slog and I'm working on it too long and I don't like this?
I think context matters quite a lot here. For example, Speedy Ship was a very conscious decision to have short, chaotic maps, so if the player keeps dying, it's not a frustrating process of starting at the very beginning and they're going to take 10 minutes just to get back to where they were. It's going to be pretty well quickly right back to where they died, right? But for something like Strife, like my first Strife map, that probably takes at least an hour on average on your first playthrough. That really was meant to be like the feeling of an adventure. It was meant to convey like almost a story within the map, you know.
Oh, yeah.
So I think context is quite important, but generally speaking, I think it is a conscious decision I make, whether it's going to be large or not. But on the other hand, sometimes a map for Ganymede that I felt was large, and people, when I released it, people said, oh, that was a nice small map. What? I thought it was large. I put so much effort and time and, oh, that's a nice small map. Where's more?
That's a very good point, Chorus, and I agree. I don't know if Jimmy, if when you were making, like, say, Back to Saturn X map, E2 map 12, navigating flood regions, you did that really cool thing with the water raising at the end. Was that a decision to try and do something neat now that you've established your style, or was that just I'm going to continue working in my style, or just now that I have a style, I'm going to try and do more complex things with it?
Well, I guess my style revolves around boom mapping now that the Genesis is done, and it was all done within the boom mapping limits. As I mapped more for Genesis, I got more au fait with the limitations of boom mapping. And I think this started when I first started the project back in October 2010. And I'd only mapped for Zedum up to that point. So suddenly going into the boom limitations was... I wouldn't say daunting, but it was eye-opening, certainly, to see, look at what you can't do right now. I mean, obviously there's the givens, like, you can't use slopes or God forbid, particle fountains, say, in boom-compatible maps. But there's all sorts of other limitations, like the action specials. They're not as varied in the boom-mapping environment as they are in Zedum. It started in a lot of frustrating episodes where I was just going, God, I can't pull off this one effect that I want to do. And it's, I was struggling as well with management side of it as well. Like I was saving my maps all like in the wrong order or something, and then ended up like not being able to play them and couldn't figure out why. And I looked at the web and it was all like, oh, all the lumps are out of order. Oh dear, what's going on here? So it was nightmarish for a little while. But as I got more accustomed to boom mapping, I definitely got more explorative. So that area at the end of Nation Gone Dry, I think, is probably the most advanced boom effect I've created so far.
Well, technically it's a vanilla effect.
Oh, yes. Sorry.
That's what I was... yes, but...
I'm definitely getting more used to the older styles of mapping.
Yeah, and that point is very valid, that starting out with a more advanced mapping style and then going back to more and more limitations as you go on, you really have to learn how to do more with less. And I mentioned the source ports, and so I think people should start with boom mapping simply because it's a nice balance of advanced features and vanilla, and it gives you the like ability to expand in either direction. I agree with that, Jimmy, and yeah, that is a really interesting experience going from Zedum to trying to make a megawad in boom. Now, one thing I do want to talk about, and I kind of mentioned it with 32 maps and the difficulty of making 32 maps to make each map unique, is when do you think something shouldn't be a megawad? Like, something like Reverie. I don't know what your guys' opinions are on it, but I've played through Reverie, and I like Valkyrie Force's maps, but my biggest problem with Reverie is that within 32 maps, his style never really changes that much, and the maps are very, very similar in, not in visuals or theme, but in how they play. He has that very arcadey, puzzly style that I think doesn't change enough over 32 maps that it kind of drags.
I do like Reverie. I have played through it, and I think overall I enjoyed it. I did end up getting stuck at a few of the puzzles, and getting lost quite a bit in. I think probably Valkyrie Force's style is, I think, quite small and boxy, and there's a lot of different routes you can take, but like only one of them is the correct one. So if you end up like taking the wrong turn, you have to kind of divert yourself and backtrack until you find that fork in the road that you should have turned left at or whatever. So I would say, yeah, I don't mind that Reverie's a mega rad, honestly. It's kind of like it's clearly an exercise by Valkyrie Force to get some more quality maps out there, and I think it's better than Doom Core. I mean, I don't know what you guys think, but I couldn't really get into Doom Core personally. It's just
miles better than Doom Core for me.
It was kind of like, yeah, Doom Core's, I think, a lot flatter, I want to say. I don't know why, but just doesn't seem as diverse as Reverie. Reverie's got all sorts of like new textures and interesting stuff going on in the maps.
So,
this is, you know, themes or gimmicks, whatever.
So, what you would say is that with a one-man megawad, it's more about just creating a 32-map compilation of your work to either advance it as more experience as a mapper to develop your style, or just to make 32 quality maps and pump them out. And it's less about worrying specifically how each of those maps play together.
Well, for me, it's all about the player. For me, I'm never thinking about myself when I'm making the maps. For me, it's always about the player. Like, what health are they going to have at this point? What monster are they, you know, not expecting? Things like that. Rather than a conscious effort to improve myself all the time. Like, sure, I'm trying to push myself in the things I do. Speedy Shit's a pretty prime example of that. But I'm still thinking of, you know, the player is the reason why these maps exist, you know.
Yeah. I leave theme placement until last, personally. So I think the maps, as I'm making them, revolve mainly around, oh, this would be cool if I had this thing here, like this texture on this wall, and the wall this size, and with, you know, this particular curve or whatever. You know, just in the microcosmic sense, but I suppose in the macrocosmic sense, it would be, this map should be set in hell, it should have this texture set, it should have this kind of pool of monsters, and I personally have quite a vivid idea in my head of how a map will play, but not specific areas. Those sort of are almost an afterthought for me. I do find myself thinking up quite a lot of starting rooms in my maps, and I always start with the starting room in my maps. Because the opening shot, I think, is crucial. So I think of that first, and then the rest of the rooms are kind of a byproduct of that, if you see what I mean.
I agree.
Snakes?
Yeah, I can see that.
You see that? So would you all agree that definitely while making a megawad, you consciously choose to think more about the people who are going to be playing it versus what you would do if you were playing it? Like, do you ever compromise for the players, I guess the best way to say it?
I don't know if I necessarily compromise for the player. I've always, when I map, I know what I like, and I just sort of assume that everyone else kind of likes that. It's kind of arrogant, but at the same time, it's worked for me so far. And you know, I have a couple of playtesters from Holy Realms, and if they tell me something's not right, I, you know, in that sense, I will compromise in just how I approach everything. And do they like this? Do they not like this? And then try to figure out why they don't like it and adjust appropriately. So there is compromise, but I think it's sort of compromise that any serious project should have.
See, that's a very good point, that you're still making what you're making, but you're not, you're definitely accepting feedback, and I would say that, yeah, that's a very good compromise, because, you know, sometimes you get a little too carried away in your own style and whatever you're doing, that you can make some things that, yeah, maybe I shouldn't do this. I mentioned George Lucas in this respect in the first episode of Program B, and I definitely think that still applies to Doom Mapping and the importance of playtesters. In fact, we really need to have a playtester discussion these days. So, Jimmy, would you say you've ever really changed things specifically for the player that you weren't happy with?
Yes. I think the example that sticks out is in my mind is if I had a certain tester. I'm not sure if you guys know which one I mean.
Oh, I know exactly which one you mean.
Who, let's say, is machine-like in his in his
bingo.
You know,
in
his criticisms of thing placement and line depth, like placement and stuff like that. That was kind of a struggle for me, but in terms of other things that I've kind of sacrificed in my mapping style, I suppose I'd have to say that my maps overall have always been in my style, and I've always wanted to kind of do them in my style. But sometimes, like with say an Alien Vendetta kind of tribute map, I would have to use textures from Alien Vendetta, and maybe those textures aren't textures I'm used to using, or textures that I outright dislike. That was how it was with Genesis. I think mainly just because of my goals, the goals that I had in mind for that one.
See, that's very interesting. The aspect of using textures you don't like because you have a specific, like, I'm going to make a tribute to this, I'm going to make a tribute to that. See, that's something I find very hard for myself to do, is use things I don't like when making a tribute to something. That's actually one of the reasons I really want to do Evolution the way TNT did, simply to force myself to make a map that is half something I like and half something that's just like, why did I do this, oh god. Snakes, would you say that in trying to meet the goal for a map, you've ever included elements that you weren't particularly a fan of?
Let's see here. I actually have done a pretty solid job of being satisfied with my work.
Yeah?
I'm just arrogant enough to do that, I think. I mean, I'm trying to think of an example where I finished something and I changed it and I didn't like the change at all, and it's just not happening. So, I guess not.
Course, was there anything like Jimmy did where you made a map and you didn't like the specific textures or something, but you used the textures because it fit what you were trying to do?
Well, back in 2006, I had a lot of trouble with texturing, but through the process of coming back to vanilla and in 2009, maybe 8, and since then I've worked on Heretic maps, Hexen maps, Strife maps, Doom 1 and Doom 2 maps. I think it's a process of perhaps, as we were talking about before, discovering your style, as abstract a term as that actually is. But doing that and then trying to apply that to different game concepts, you know, different weapon sets, different monster sets. The more you push yourself in that way, I think that the definitely the easier it becomes. And yeah, experience really is key there, I think, and experimentation.
So you would definitely say that in the spirit of experimentation, it is good to try out things that you're not a fan of just to see what you can do with them.
Oh, gotcha. Yeah, definitely.
Okay. So that brings me back to Reverie and someone like Valkyrie Force, then. The point I was making earlier about becoming entrenched in your style and then expanding from it once you become comfortable to try and do new things with it. So I think we're in agreement that experimentation is good, that there is a difference between bad compromise and good compromise, as we discussed with playtesting, and that making a 32-man megawad, or not 32-map, 1-man megawad, a 32-man megawad, that'd be fucking easy. No, a 32-map megawad is definitely a challenge, but would you say it's a rewarding challenge? More so than just developing your style, to be able to look back and say, I made 32 levels, and be able to really be proud of the fact that you put that out.
Yeah, it definitely is for me. I don't really know what else to say on that, but yeah, I would say Genesis has some maps I don't like as much as other maps, but I think that's really just a given. Even if you make a mega web that's kind of objectively consistent throughout the whole thing, that would be a rarity, obviously. But yeah, you're gonna have favorite maps and least favorite maps. I think that's just a given. But yeah, definitely making Mega Red is it's no small undertaking, but it's a very rewarding experience at the end of it.
For me, I'm able to play my own stuff and enjoy that, like. Perhaps from more of a player's perspective these days, seeing as a lot of that's quite old for me now. But on the other hand, I don't sit on my laurels, if that makes any sense. I do, you know, strive to, you know, put that behind me, move on, and come up with completely new things. And yeah, so.
So it's a balanced approach in your mind.
Yeah, sure. Like I said before, I think the player is the key, you know, central point for a level design for me. You know, what are the players going to see? So I'm approaching from that perspective. I suppose kind of gives an outside point to the map. Like, more so speedy shit, because like I said, I wasn't polishing those maps, but I'm able to enjoy them as a player these days, simply because they are quite raw. I'm not sure if that's a bad thing.
No, I find that if you map quickly or come back to match with a fresh mind, you do see them from more of a player's perspective rather than a mapper's perspective. Because I still see Genesis as kind of, in some places, needing vast improvement in certain areas. But as I said before, when you come back to some of your older maps, you do look at them sort of more objectively, I suppose, you know, rather than being coloured by your own opinion as to, like, you know, oh, I did this not too long ago. It took me a while and I'm sick of playing it already. So yeah, if you come back to old maps, then it's definitely more of a case of, oh, this actually has some cool stuff in it, this has some merit to it, you know, it's not
right.
All bad.
Yeah, I agree.
So to kind of wrap this up in a nice little nutshell, what advice would you have for somebody looking to start a one-man megawad, Jimmy?
I think I covered this briefly with Alfonso in my interview, and I think I would echo what I said before, which was, if you want to make a megawad, then play a lot of Doom, and I'm gonna say that to, like, if you want to make maps for Doom, you have to know what Doom is, what works in Doom, what doesn't work in Doom, and how, you know, Doom basically plays. You know, for in terms of an experience that's memorable and you know, works well aesthetically, gameplay wise, all those sorts of things. And I guess you really have to look at the classics that have been released in the olden days. So, back to Memento Mori, back to Requiem. I would also say Hell Revealed. You know, just all the old ones, really. They're great pools of ideas, I find. If you want to just, you know, take stuff from them shamelessly. But, yeah, they serve as a great source of inspiration. And they are some of the better WADs out there, and the fact that they're kind of still good after so many years is I think just a testament to how well the mappers did originally, and how well they knew their stuff. So, yeah, I would say play a lot of Doom. Observe what mappers do. Maybe not specific mappers, because I find it hard to distinguish mapper styles from another. I would say, yeah, look at it kind of objectively. Look at how mappers have done what they've done. Adopt it into your style if you really, really like it. And just do your best, just in terms of making quality maps. I suppose another bit of advice would be to have fun with it, because otherwise, what are you doing it for?
Chorus.
I think I take a more introspective approach in terms of advice. The key word being why. Why are you making a megawad? You know, what's your reasoning? If you're doing it for some sort of community recognition, it's inevitably going to fail, right? Especially if you're, you know, brand new and inexperienced. It's got to be a personal challenge, I think, and something you set, yeah, a goal for, you know, you to achieve over a course of time, and it's something that's, you know, reasonable to achieve so you don't get overburdened, and, yeah, like Jimmy said, ultimately have fun.
Snakes.
Well, I think one of the most important things is before you start making a megawad, you have to have in mind what kind of megawad you want to make. Is it going to be something that's just, you know, 32 maps that you're going to just throw together in a short amount of time? Is it going to be something a little more expansive? What source port are you going to make it for, et cetera, et cetera? And then after you get started on it, make sure you have ways to maintain a high level of enthusiasm, and not just for the wad you're making, but for Doom itself. You know, make sure you have level sets that you can look back to and try to take away from, and the ones that influenced you in the first place, the ones that might inspire you in the future. Constantly play Doom while you're making a megawad, and it should be able to grow from that, and that you'll develop a style from what you like and what you don't like, and ultimately it will be a product that you can identify as your own.
Okay. I'm going to give my advice, and I actually want to expand on it. I wanted to give you all a chance to give your brief thoughts, but I want to delve deeper into why you feel that advice is good. My own thoughts is, don't do it as your first thing to do mapping. For the love of God, do not
do it as your
first thing to do mapping. That's my gigantic mistake, and that's the reason why I look back at all my maps and hate everything about them. Even the good things I like about them, I still look at them and go, I did that totally wrong, and that's bad, and I should just fix that and remake it, and I hate it, and oh god, look at all these inlets and these ceiling lights and this. Oh, okay.
Is there such a thing as Tarnsman lights then?
There is such a thing as Tarnsman lights. Oh god. There's also such a thing as Tarnsman inlet detailing that looks horrible. Yeah. But, so Jimmy, going back to your advice, expand now. Why is that your specific advice? To really delve deeper. I'm going to make you think.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm not used to thinking, sorry. My brain works in the way that I look at things and take things from them kind of almost instantly. And I don't mean that as a boast. I just mean that as like, I look at things and I think, oh, this is very interesting. And I think it's the same with my music as well. I just osmos styles. I just kind of, you know, take in images or music and, you know, incorporate it into, you know, how I do things. I don't know whether that works the same for anybody else, but I think yes, it's very important to look very closely at what works and what doesn't, as I already said. So you have to look hard and be analytical about it and be very critical of other stuff. So It, rather than just going through Doom and playing a lot of it, you have to be meticulous about it and critical and say, well, this works, this doesn't, might use that, might not use that, etc. And I think Tarnsman, you're like that yourself. Your streams kind of indicate that you look back on stuff, like evidently even your own stuff, and say, oh, this works, this doesn't, and base your new kind of opinion around that, and that's how you mold your style. I think that's how it works for me too. I mean, yeah, I'm just guessing here.
Chorus, would you agree with that? And expanding on your previous advice, would you say that that's an important reason to not just do things for recognition, because just doing something for recognition makes you less critical of your own stuff, since you just, you know, I want to be known, so I'm going to make this?
Well, I'd answer that by saying when I started back in very early 2005, I wasn't online like with making my maps. I was doing things without even knowing of a community, right? And I made about 25 maps for Doom 2 Megawad by myself, and then came online, saw what was available, and started from scratch, right? And I put some screenshots up of what I had, and was inevitably, you know, criticized to hell because it was, you know, really amateur and what you'd expect. But in hindsight, looking back on the maps that I did create, I can certainly see that I had improved myself just through my own experimentations, right? And ultimately, I'd say, first off, I came across Christus very early, right? And he was willing to actually give some time to, you know, go through some things for me, criticize and give feedback. And I realized that both perspectives from other people as well as your own are pretty valuable to how you develop. And I think one of the worst things for what would stop me playing new WODs that are released would be a sort of the style of projects that are released are exactly the same as each other, because everyone's trying to emulate what's already been out there, what other people are doing. I think really trying to, you know, generate your own view and perspective on level design is really important, as well as trying to get feedback from others. So, if that train of thought fits in with anything I've said before or what others have said, I'm not sure, but yeah, that's how I'd answer that.
So you would definitely say that simply experimenting by yourself, you can definitely develop without the need to look at existing works and take what you can from what works and what doesn't work.
For sure. I mean, self-reflection is a very important skill. It's something I've always done, not by actual thinking about it, but almost just naturally. It's just, whenever I played something by myself, I'm automatically looking, oh, well, I wouldn't have done that before, or I should have done this here. You know, it's just stuff that comes true for me anyway, but I think it's something that's really important myself.
And Snakes, you get the lucky honor of being at the end of this advice train.
Oh, boy.
it's your turn to expand on the whys of how you feel about all this advice. Why do you think that this is good advice?
Well, damn it, I'm already forgetting all the advice I gave. Hang on. It's like 9 a.m. I work 40 hours a week. I'm tired, guys. The reason I say that you should constantly be taking in while you're creating, is because it's going to help you evolve. I mean, introspection is important. I think it is absolutely 100%. You should take time to yourself. And, you know, when I disappear sometimes from the community, it's because I've actually sort of found myself being too dependent on other people's opinions. And I think it's important sometimes to withdraw yourself and focus on what you've done and what you've, you know, played in the past and develop from that. And definitely criticize yourself. Don't be overcritical, because I got overcritical for like 3 months there, and I wound up losing some stuff on my hard drive that I probably should have kept, and I'm still kind of mad at myself. And Yeah, so, and, you know, you have to find that hybrid between what other people are expect of you and what you expect of yourself. And in that way, you'll find something that is spot on for what you want to do. And make sure you're doing it for yourself, absolutely. If you're making a megawatt just to say, you know, for recognition, it's going to be something that is just half-assed, and it's not going to be that great.
Yeah.
I agree, and I think what we could take away from this, and I think this is the most important fact, is that mapping is very diverse. People each have their own way of mapping, and there really isn't a blanket advice you can give to somebody that would cover all the bases. I think that we can agree that it is important to do things for yourself. It is important to look at not necessarily exact aspects you can take away, but broad ideas that exist within other Doom maps that you can look at. Well, interconnection, layout, flow, monster placement, progression, things like that, that definitely would help somebody by examining existing high quality material and saying, okay, I understand what they did, how can I apply this to something that is distinctly my own and not just a ripoff? But most importantly, that, yeah, you do map for yourself, and you need to have fun and enjoy what you're making, because that really comes through. Alfonso has made mention of this several times before. If, like, Oblige ever was able to make maps that were objectively better than anything that a player could make, both he and I would still not play them, because they'd lack that human element. That people putting what they think into a map definitely... It has a certain charm to it that it just, it's an intangible quality, I'd like to say, that this is somebody's creation, and because they had something specific in mind while making it, there is that specific goal that, whether they succeeded or not, is always present in the map.
Mm-hmm.
At least that's my personal opinion on the matter. So, any final things you'd like to add?
I'd like to add that I think on some level we're all doing it for recognition.
Oh.
Just, go on.
No, I'd have to agree with that. I mean, just because, yes, on some level somebody's like, you want people to like what you make. I mean, nobody makes something with the express goal of people not liking what they don't make. Unless they're, you know, I'm making this just to be the guy who made this really bad thing. But even then, you know, that is, it's the recognition. So yeah, definitely to a point, everybody's doing something for recognition, and you do want people to like what you've made. But at the same point, I think that you do have to like what you've made and enjoy playing it on top of, you know, I want people to like it and I want the recognition. Otherwise, it's really a harsh way to put it, but it's soulless, and, it lacks that, you know, certain artistic flair, that something that somebody with real passion for mapping would make, I think.
Yeah, that's fair enough, I think. I think you can go too far the other way, though. You can just like your own maps too much that you can't stop playing them and then never release it, and that's how I used to be. That's when I started out. Just couldn't stop thinking, I've got to make sure this is right. I would just, like, move one thing, and then just go back and play the whole map all over again. I've grown out of that now, thankfully.
So yes, we've discussed a very broad sense of one-man megawatts, and the challenges and different ways you can approach them, and I think that it's great that we all have different ways of tackling the one-man megawatt, and there isn't really a specific common ground, because that's how we get more diversity in mapping, and it's good that there isn't, you know, that homogenization of styles and of design processes, because,
yeah.
You'd expect somebody like Huey Pham, who makes, you know, gigantic maps for Deus Vault, to map extremely fast because of just how ridiculously large they are. But then you watch his videos of mapping, and they're pretty slow. And it's like, oh, okay, you know, it is an example that, you know, whereas somebody like Mechadon can just pump out this gigantic, massive thing and just be like, holy crap, how did you do that? It is good to see that there is balance in that type of mapping, and, you know, there's balance in how people speed map and et cetera, et cetera. So I think that having that balance has definitely helped the community stay where it is, to where it's still alive and people are still making things for it. And I think that's how the community is going to grow in the future, by people not doing the same thing.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, so I'd like to draw this to a close by saying Genesis was great. Speedy Shit was great. Base Ganymede, I didn't play all of it. I should get back to it. It was great. Snakes, finish your Megawad, and I need to make mine less shit. I won't listen to anybody. I don't like it. Screw off.
Now you're compromising.
Oh, no.
Yeah, gotcha, didn't I?
No, I said I won't listen to anybody. I don't like it. I got nothing but positive feedback on the 11 map alpha I released, and I don't like it at all.
Yeah. More WADs, please, guys.
Yep. Alright, nice talking to you guys, and I'll get this over to Alfonso so that we can edit out Skype having a shift fit and dropping Jimmy twice.
Yeah, Jimmy. Sorry. I was being a Jimmy again.
Look forward to back to Saturn XE2 whenever Zazer and Essel stop being slow, and play Jimmy's really cool map. And whenever Alfonso stops being slow, we'll have a Doom 2 the way it did.
Oh, yeah.
That's right, I'm holding it over your head, Alfonso. You're holding it up. You're preventing people from playing more Jimmy maps and 9 shitty Tarnsman maps.
Shame.
Yeah, shame. Shameless plug indeed. Alright. Have a good rest of the day and a great
week. Hey, bye.
Yep, goodbye.
Bye-bye.